the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Where to start? So much happens with Trump's White House. Marion McKeown, tell us about the decision late last night announced by Donald Trump to suspend all military aid to Ukraine.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are horrified by it, but I don't think people are particularly surprised. This has been coming. And just to make it clear, Trump has not authorized any aid in the 6 weeks he's been president. This is aid that was previously authorized by the Biden administration. And there was a rush at the end by Joe Biden to get a lot of stuff out the door. But it's not clear if even some of that will arrive, because anything that's currently in transit or in Poland will be included in this ban. So it's not just, as I say, starting from anything that Trump may have or may have been considering. It's anything that was previously authorized that isn't already.
Sorry, Marion, though, I thought the aid for Ukraine was Congress endorsed, that this wasn't a decision that could be made from the Oval Office. Can he override what Congress has decided?
Well, you know, Trump, if you look at, that's a really good question, but if you look at the number of overriding things that he has already overridden in other areas, it seems that, yes, possibly Congress can challenge this if they could get their act together to do so. Yes, there possibly could be some kind of a legal action, but it's unclear who has standing. And, you know, but the point is that at the moment, I spoke to a military contact of mine, and he said that Ukraine has enough aid at the moment, military aid, to keep it going until about May, but he said after that it's going to be very, very hard for them to keep fighting without US military assistance. Now, maybe the EU will step up in the meantime, it's unlikely, but it's all about this nonsense that he's saying that the US gave Ukraine $350 billion, then he said $500 billion. It's just not true. There are two different metrics which have been used, and one suggests, the Kiel Institute in Germany says it's about $120 billion in total. The Pentagon and Trump are, not Trump, but the Pentagon is saying it's about $184 billion in total, but they're counting in things like the cost of training troops, the cost of moving stuff to Europe, the cost of replacing what they've given Ukraine. So there's a kind of a double dipping going on there anyway. But it does seem that the US has given $64 million in military assistance. Some of the other aid was given through USAID. That's been stopped now anyway because the USAID has been gutted. And that Europe has given considerably more than the US, about $138 billion. So, you know, it's Trump's claim that the US has basically been fronting all of this and nobody else is really helping. It's just not true, like so many things. But this will have a devastating effect on Ukraine, not just on the military aid, but as I said, on the USAID that was going in, because that was paying the salaries of teachers and doctors. And there was other money going in that was guaranteed through the World Bank that was also just basically trying to help the country keep going while they're fighting this war. So it's pretty catastrophic for Ukraine. And as my friend said to me, that I speak with regularly from the military, he said that, you know, May is going to be, that's going to be about the longest they can keep it going.
Okay, Cal Thomas, just when it comes to Trump making decisions, is Congress now merely a rubber stamp for whatever the Oval Office decides?
Well, Matt, several things. First, this happened under the Biden administration when aid to Israel to fight the terrorists that had launched unprovoked attacks against the Jewish state. The Biden administration, seeking to get Israel to do its bidding, withheld or delayed arms there. So this is nothing particularly new. Let me tell you what my great concern is. Well, first of all, I just saw on social media that Zelensky has posted what is as close to an apology that Trump has said he wants for the blow-up last Friday in the Oval Office, even though it was not entirely his fault. So I think you're going to see tonight in the president's address to Congress some kind of an announcement, if not of a peace deal, then at least to the beginning of negotiations. But here's my bigger concern, Matt. If Russia, which launched this invasion, is not going to pay a price, is not going to live up to any promises it makes, and Putin is on record as not living up to those promises, what is the U.S. policy going forward? If Putin invades other states, as he has threatened to do to restore the glory days of the Soviet Union, as he puts it, if President Xi of China invades Taiwan, if North Korea decides to take on South Korea, I mean, what is the U.S. foreign policy to all of these things? I think these actions by by the president, and the pressure he's putting on Zelensky and is cozying up to Putin sends an extremely bad message to America's and indeed Europe's adversaries.
Indeed, Carl, there's quite a few people texting in saying, why are we giving out about Trump? He's trying to end the killing. But the killing has been done by Putin and the Russians who've illegally invaded. And essentially what Trump is looking for is not a peace deal. He's looking for Zelensky to surrender, the land that the Russians have taken, to write off all of the debts at Ukraine, and he's allowing Putin to have his way without any punishment. So, and are there not enough people in America questioning why Trump would be wanting to give Putin everything that he wants?
It's a great question, Matt, and I wish I could get in Trump's head to find out what he really is thinking. But here's the thing. Trump continues to talk about peace as the objective. Peace is like happiness. It's a byproduct of something else. You just don't go out. You don't take a course at university in peace. You don't take a course in university on happiness. It is results from something else. And I think while peace is a wonderful goal, as someone said, peace is not just the absence of war. We're dealing with an evil dictator who kills journalists, who imprisons people without trial, who tortures people, who has invaded a sovereign nation. This is not the kind of guy we can deal with. This is Hitler 2.0.
Indeed, Marion, Putin's political rivals like Alex Navalny die in prison, and you don't hear a word from Trump or J.D. Vance in relation to that. And just briefly going back to last Friday, how instructive was it that in one of Trump's ramblings at Zelensky, he started going on about how himself and Putin had suffered together because of the focus and attention been placed on Putin's support for trying to make sure that Trump was elected in 2016, and also for the fact that Trump's main motivation would appear to be Zelensky didn't help him in trying to go at the Bidens.
Yeah, and I think we spoke about that briefly yesterday, that there's such animus from Trump towards Zelensky because he stood up to him in 2019 when he had just been elected, and Trump said to him, I'm going to withhold $400 million worth of military assistance in that perfect phone call, as he called it, unless you launch a criminal investigation into the Bidens. And Zelensky said no. And of course, that became the subject of Trump's first impeachment. So that's where the animus comes from. And I heard you laugh there, Cal, and I don't blame you. That suggestion that poor Putin, he was so traumatized by this unfair. Putin did meddle in the 2016 elections. It's a matter of fact. Even the Mueller report, which Bill Barr tried to totally distort and discredit, found that conclusively that Putin did interfere in the 2016 American elections for Trump's benefit. So poor Putin. I mean, I just saw just now he has praised Trump's decision to withhold military assistance and all assistance from Ukraine.
Of course he has.
And a Republican, Don Bacon, just said, will China, Iran and North Korea be withholding assistance from Russia? No, this is so one-sided. And just what you said earlier about peace and the just peace, look at what Trump is demanding of Ukraine. He's demanding they allow Russia to have 20% of their country with all of its minerals, and all of the 6 million people who live there, the 6 million Ukrainians who live there, will now be subject to Russian rule. And he's suggesting that America will provide no security guarantees if Putin breaks this. And look at the Budapest Agreement of 1994. Look at Minsk 1 and Minsk 2 agreements in 2014 and 2015. He blew through every one of those. Of course he's going to break this. What he will do is rearm if this surrender, and you're right, it is a surrender, is forced. He will rearm and then he'll take the rest of Ukraine. And that's precisely what will happen. And Zelensky knows that, and that's what he's pushing back into. Oh, and by the way, the US also wants about half of Ukrainian wealth for them to agree to this, to this forced surrender. It's astonishing. And, it just puts Zelensky in an impossible position. And now we heard also from the press office that there will be, they're talking about a televised that Zelensky will also have to publicly on TV apologize to Trump before he's allowed to surrender. Basically, before the peace deal, which is a surrender.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of that individual. J.D. Vance, an interview with Sean Hannity on Fox, where Vance was asked about the strong support European leaders have shown for Zelensky since Friday evening.
Because, Sean, here's the problem with the Europeans. And a lot of these guys are our friends. They're our allies. We, of course, you know, the president has a great relationship with a lot of European heads of state. And so do I. But they need to be realistic. Mm-hmm. And the craziest part about this, Sean, is that sometimes you'll have European heads of state who in public will puff up their chest and say, we're in it with President Zelensky for the next 10 years. And then in private, they'll pick up the phone and say, this can't go on forever. He has to come to the negotiating table. So I honestly don't care what the Europeans say in public. What I care is what they say in private. And what they need to be saying to President Zelensky is, this can't go on forever. The bloodshed, the killing, the economic devastation, it's making everyone worse off. The only pathway, I think, back to peace and prosperity is what the president is trying to accomplish.
Now, Marianne, has J.D. Vance once criticized Putin?
No, and you know, the tone of all this, and again, the undermining of Zelensky, the claiming without any proof that they're saying one thing to Zelensky and another thing to Trump. Nobody knows better than Zelensky that this war cannot go on forever. Nobody wants peace more than him. He doesn't want to surrender his country, and there's a difference between those two things. And what J.D. Vance and Trump are pushing him to do is to surrender his country. There's no word about what Putin's doing. There's no word about the tens of thousands of children that have been kidnapped, Ukrainian children, forced and taken to Russia as well, in orphanages there now in horrific conditions. There's no word about any of this. They speak as though Zelensky started the war, as though Zelensky is the aggressor.
Okay.
And as though he just wants to keep this war going indefinitely.
And as you've mentioned, Marianne, the Russians are putting out statements delighted with everything that's happening. Here's Donald Trump responding to a Russian statement that US and Russian foreign policy are aligned.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think it takes two to tango, and you're going to have to make a deal with Russia, and you're going to have to make a deal with Ukraine. You're going to have the assent, and you're going to have the consent from the European nations, because I think that's important, and from us. I think everybody has to get into a room, so to speak, and we have to make a deal. And the deal can be made very fast. It should not be that hard a deal to make. It could be made very fast. Now, maybe somebody doesn't want to make a deal. And if somebody doesn't want to make a deal, I think that person won't be around very long. That person will not be listened to very long, because I believe that Russia wants to make a deal. I believe certainly the people of Ukraine want to make a deal. They've suffered more than anybody else. We talk about suffering. They've suffered. But if you think about it, under President Bush, they got Georgia, right? Russia got Georgia. Under President Obama, they got a nice big submarine base, a nice big chunk of land where they have their submarines. You know that, right? Crimea. Under President Trump, they got nothing. And under President O'Biden, they tried to get the whole thing. They tried to get the whole big Ukraine, the whole thing. If I didn't get in here, they would have gotten the whole thing. So,
Cal Thomas, what on earth is he rambling on about?
Well, it's just, you know, there is some truth in that. But look, I go back, I think I mentioned this yesterday or a previous appearance, when Ronald Reagan was asked what his policy was to the old Soviet Union, he said, very simple, we win, they lose. You have to oppose dictators. You have to oppose evil, or it's like a dread disease. It just spreads in the body. It encourages people. I mean, where is it written that we should not oppose people? Again, I go back to John Kennedy's 1961 inaugural address. It was an amazing speech. We'll pay any price, bear any burden in the promotion and defense of freedom around the world. Now we can argue whether we can be the world's policeman or whether we need other countries and alliances and to step up and help out with that. But we just can't leave the playing field. In war, there are only two outcomes, either victory or defeat. And Trump and it seems to be on the side of defeat, I'm sorry to say. And it won't end like this. This will not be the end of it. If there is some kind of a peace agreement with Russia, Putin is not going to stop there. He's already said so, and we should take him at his word. It's one of the few things that we can count on to keep his word.
Listener says, Matt, why are you so obsessed with Trump and Ukraine? It's none of our business, and we have so many of our own problems that you were ignoring for your pet hate Trump. Come on, cover subjects that actually affect us here in Ireland. It very much affects us. It affects us enormously. Yeah. We are spending an enormous amount of money in support of Ukraine. We have a lot of Ukrainian people living here in Ireland because it's part of that support. And we can't be blind to what goes on in the rest of the world. And we have to play our part in trying to make the world a somewhat better and safer place and in standing up to dictators. Cal, something else. Just today, Donald Trump has announced that all federal funding will stop for any college, school or university that allows illegal protests. Agitators will be imprisoned or permanently sent back to the country from which they came. American students will be permanently expelled or, depending on the crime, arrested. No masks. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Wow, classic dictator stuff, isn't it? But ironic, well, given that he's the man who gave pardons to everyone involved in the January 6th. Well, protests is a light way of describing what those people got up to. I'm not sure it's funny, Cal.
Well, I'm just laughing because for a number of reasons. We've had a tradition in this country since the 1960s of people peaceably demonstrating for a redress of grievances. Those words are taken out of our First Amendment to our Constitution. Peaceably is the key. Now, these are private institutions for the most part. Some are public universities, and their administrations have an obligation to police their own students. I'm just thinking, you know, if there was a hate group in there that was demonstrating against black people or that was demonstrating against gay people, I think there might be a different response among some of the universities and others. But I think if you engage in hate, that's something that the universities, the colleges need to address. I think this will not stand up in court. If it goes to court, I reject some of the anti-Semitism and the anti-Israel business. But I defend their right to demonstrate. The classic case is the ACLU years ago that defended a group of American Nazis marching through a Jewish neighborhood in Skokie, Illinois. They hated everything the Nazis stood for, but they defended their right to free speech and an orderly demonstration. I think that's the model.
If it goes to court, Marion, because it's amazing the things that don't get to court and just carry on. But again, maybe J.D. Vance should take notice of what his boss is doing, given he came to us in Europe and lectured us about a so-called lack of freedom of speech. And look at this.
Well, the hypocrisy of that, even on the day when the U.S. had blocked Associated Press, which has the biggest readership of any news organization in the world, and that was precisely the reason, not because they refused to call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Since then, they've blocked Reuters, they've blocked Bloomberg, they've blocked a number of the major news organizations just because they don't like that they report the facts. They don't. That's their big objection, that AP reports the facts. So it's appalling. This, I agree with Cal, this won't stand. This will be challenged if it goes anywhere. But it is chilling. The tone of it, the fact that Trump thinks he can even say this is absolutely chilling. And I think that, I think everybody thought that Trump version 2 was going to be pretty grim, but I think the speed at which he's dismantling things, or at least attempting to dismantle things like freedom of speech, is just bewildering to everyone. I suspect even to some of his supporters.
But then look at what happened to his health secretary, Robert Kennedy Jr., has had to do a U-turn of measles vaccines. Tell us about that, Marion.
Well, this is to do with the outbreak initially in Texas, where amongst children, where literally, it was a big outbreak. One child died. He incorrectly said it was two children. As we all know, he made his reputation and his claim to fame and a considerable amount of money is as a vaccine skeptic. And now he's saying that basically they're taking it seriously and that they're going to address the issues. And it's a U-turn for him, but it's the correct thing to do. I think that I've no problem with somebody changing their mind if they were so patently wrong about something, as Kennedy is, and he's now urging people to get the vaccine in Texas and everywhere. I think he wrote a news op-ed for Fox News and said that he's championing the measles, mumps and rubella vaccines and that they are very efficient. So it is a U-turn, but you know what, it's the right U-turn.
And meanwhile, Elon Musk gets on with Doge, Cal, perhaps out of sight given that everyone is distracted by all the other things going on. He purported last week that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. There's an awful lot of people who depend on Social Security. A lot of also state employees who are terrified for their jobs because they won't have their health insurance if they lose their state jobs. this. He's also gone to the Internal Revenue System. He's getting rid of auditors as part of his cutbacks, despite the fact that they're the ones who are shown to bring in the money that the tax dodgers, usually corporate, don't pay. And there's less chance of them paying it now if there's less auditors there to go after them.
Why don't you say what you mean, Matt? I mean, don't straddle the issues here. Look, I think Musk ought to keep his mouth shut and just do his job. He's not being helpful at all to the administration or to the advancement of what Trump wants to do in reducing the size and cost of government. There are still many people in the United States who do not understand the Social Security system. They think that their tax money that they paid during their working years is going to some box in the Treasury Department with their name on it so that when they retire, they'll be able to open the box and get the money. That's not true. It's a tax. And the people who are working are paying for those who are retired. And when those people who are working retire, they're going to be relying on the young people who come behind them to pay taxes to pay for their Social Security. So it's all a joke. It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's something that was instituted under the Franklin Roosevelt administration. Now, has it gone too big? Is it covering too many things? That's a debate we should have. But it's not a Ponzi scheme.
No, and the chainsaw approach does not sort it out, does it?
That's more like a horror movie, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. No, I mean, if you're going to pick some kind of image, the chainsaw is probably not the best thing to do. Just go do the work, get the work done. Find out where there is waste, fraud, and abuse. Even Democrats admit to that, though they won't be specific on what they'd like to cut. I have long advocated that these departments and agencies should come before Congress and tell whether they're living up to their charter or their authorizing legislation. If they are, and if it can't be done better by the private sector, we keep it. If they aren't, then we get rid of it. That's what businesses do. But as Reagan used to say, the only proof of eternal life in Washington is a government program.
Okay, last thing to you, Mary McKeown, last word. I think we'll be talking to you again tomorrow night because Trump is addressing Congress tonight. It's not State of the Nation because apparently the first speech after he comes into office to Congress does not get that title. But we can expect what?
But it will be, you know, I guarantee you will have all the props and the drama and the, you know, of a State of the Union address. Who knows what he's going to say? I mean, I know that there, amongst Democrats, there's a will we boycott, won't we? Hakeem Jeffries is saying attend. Some of them are saying, senators and congresspeople are saying they're going to boycott. Some of the women are saying they're going to wear pink. I think people are waiting to hear what Trump will say, mainly about this, the tariffs, which dropped last night. And it's so concerning for so many people. It's, the stock market has gone crazy. It's dropped, well, it's gone crazy, dropped by about 1.5 points. People are really worried about this. Conservative newspapers have spoken out against it in very strong editorials, in, for example, the Wall Street Journal. It just makes no sense that he's putting tariffs 25% on Mexico and Canada and another 10% on China. It makes no sense under the guise of fentanyl, which nobody really believes, because less than 1% of fentanyl ever came in from Canada. They invested another $1.3 billion into border security. They did exactly what Trump had said. And by the way, Trump negotiated this trade deal between the US and Canada and Mexico. It was his great deal that he's now tearing up basically and saying is a terrible deal. So I think that he's going to talk about tariffs. He's probably going to talk about Ukraine. There'll be a lot of misinformation, a lot of probably stunts. I don't think we'll come away from it any the wiser, but we may come away from it a lot more concerned than we were previously.
One listener suggesting he might even decide that the United States is leaving NATO. Couldn't hardly go that far. Maybe he could. Anyway, Mary McKeown, Cal Thomas for now. Thank you very much.
The last word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.